My guest at this time is Robert Henneke, General Counsel and President of the Center for the American Future at the Texas Public Policy Foundation. Prior to that, Mr. Henneke served as a district attorney and as an assistant attorney general in Texas under then-Attorney General Greg Abbott, who, of course, is now governor. We want to draw on Mr. Henneke's experience running an investigation to get his insights into what we're seeing from Special Counsel Robert Mueller's probe of Russian involvement in the 2016 elections. Mueller's supporters say he is getting results and zeroing in on big charges. His detractors suggest he's only indicting people on unrelated charges that have nothing to do with the alleged collusion and is now being exposed for hiring rabid partisans on his team. So how should we evaluate what we know thus far? Mr. Henneke, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, it's a pleasure. And howdy from Texas here today.
Well, it's great to have you with us. Mr. Mueller and his team have now handed down indictments against four people, Paul Manafort, Rick Gates, George Papadopoulos, and Michael Flynn. Papadopoulos and Flynn have pled guilty to making false statements and appear to be cooperating as the investigation moves forward. So based on what you can see and have read, is Mueller closing in on bigger targets, or is he dancing around the edges looking for process crimes?
It looks like process crimes. I mean, from the perspective here in middle America, you've got this out-of-control investigation that's just churning and is coming up with matters that really don't fall within what was supposed to be the premise of the scope of the original investigation. And now that there are the recent revelations that the individuals that have been tasked with, you know, providing this focus on the administration, the president, are themselves, you know, loyal and supporters of the candidate that lost, I really have some questions about the integrity of this and concerns about that we may be undermining the very foundation of our government with this seemingly out-of-control investigation.
I want to get to that point in just a moment, but I do want to follow up on the first one with this. On Wednesday, testifying before the House, Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein, who officially oversees this investigation since Attorney General Jeff Sessions has recused himself, said he sees no reason to remove Mueller and has said in the past he's satisfied with Mueller's actions to date. So, has the probe itself, and we'll talk about the personnel in a moment, but has the probe been fairly standard, as you can tell, or has the overall approach puzzled you as well?
The overall approach is very concerning and puzzling. Really, unpacking the layers of this, there doesn't seem to be anything at the core, I think at least from the perspective of myself and most Americans. You have, you know, the original allegations of this collusion with the Russian government, which were suggested by the past Obama appointees that were left over in the, you know, intelligence communities. And then it seems that this has just been packed by innuendo and speculation and leaks and accusations that has led into a reactionary launching of this investigation when really the parameters and the need for it, I don't think were defined from the get-go.
Let me follow up on two quick points there. First of all, the leaks. There's been a ton of them. Every time you turn on cable channel, it's sources, .. whatever the latest alleged revelation is. Sometimes it's true, sometimes it's not, as far as we can tell. You've run these sorts of investigations before. How do these leaks happen, and what does it tell you about the people involved?
Well, it shows to me that people are using, you know, their contacts with the media, their contacts with other elected officials to further their own interests by anonymous accusations and, you know, sharing information, whether or not it may be true. It's being reported as such, and that's coming back into this churning type aspect. You know, if there is as significant an issue as would require this type of special counsel outside investigation, there's no reason that all of this should be happening in the public arena through leaks, through, you know, anonymous sources, through, you know, innuendo and so forth. It really, it just further undermines what I see as a lack of integrity in this, and that this is all some kind of capital intrigue type drama and not what it's supposed to be, which is a criminal investigation of, you know, at least supposedly serious allegations.
I'm going to get to the personnel on the next question, I promise. But how would this investigation look different based on what you're familiar with and what most prosecutors are familiar with?
I think you'd have greater integrity, impartiality, and control over the message. That part of it is you don't have a defined scope of this investigation. I mean, in my experience as a prosecutor, you have very specific crimes that are set forth in, say, for example, the penal code. They have elements. They put persons on notice as to what breaks the law and what does not break the law. And here, I think one of the first and fundamental problems with this issue here is that it is not defined what the investigator Mueller is looking for originally, and certainly not where he's going into today with where he spun off into financial records and perjury allegations and you know, tangentially related type subjects. This was never a license just to investigate all things, you know, Trump related or Washington D.C. related, and you know, so right there, I would say that differs from a standard criminal investigation and prosecution in that, in my experience, you have a crime, it's specific, and you look for proof, whereas here it's really seemingly to start at the back end of we're going to find, you know, look for, find something that was done wrong and figure out what that is later.
All right, let's talk about the personnel now, because we've got, by my count, four people with questionable activity here. You've got Peter Strzok, in addition to the texts with the mistress that are now well-known over the past number of hours here, and it would appear that it's not just partisan bantering about the campaign, but also him suggesting that possibly in his position he could do something. In addition to that, it's believed that he, to some extent, massaged the Hillary Clinton email investigation. There's Andrew Weissman, Mueller's top deputy, who was a vigorous Clinton supporter and actually was at her party on election night, which was assumed incorrectly to be a victory party. There's Jeannie Rhee, who represented Ben Rhodes from the Obama administration. And most recently, we've learned about Bruce Orr, who had contacts with folks at Fusion GPS, which produced the Trump dossier. And oh, by the way, his wife worked for Fusion GPS as well. Now, you work in Austin, and politics swirl around Austin. Politics certainly swirl around Washington. And so it's impossible to leave politics out of everything. People are going to have political views. But is this typical political engagement that just happens to take place with these people, or is this a monster red flag?
It's a monster red flag. The role of the prosecutor, the role that I had when I served as a prosecutor, really gives you so much power in making choices that can, you know, put people in prison, that can ruin careers, that can, you know, result in serious consequences. And it is so critical in that role that you and everyone that you associate with, you know, hold themselves out as being utmost objective, impartial, you know, strong champions of the law and of justice. And of course, people have opinions, but it's not that people have opinions. It's when those people are so partisan, or when those opinions seem to be driving the outcomes rather than the duty to the oath that you swore in upholding the Constitution and executing the duties of your office. And this is a part of a growing greater theme. If you look at, for example, you know, the IRS, you know, targeting of conservative groups. If you looked at the questions about the investigation within the FBI of the email handling of classified information, if you look at this situation, to many Americans, really, this is furtherance of questioning the very integrity of our government, which I think is dangerous in and of itself.
Talk about that a little bit more, because obviously that's a pretty strong suggestion. This is compromising the integrity of our government. How do you see, elaborate a little more on how you see it doing that and what the implication of that is down the road?
You know, as citizens of America, we come together in a collective union to give power to the government, and remembering that government is of the people, by the people, and for the people. But in order to join together, we surrender in some ways, you know, our liberty to allow the government to have that power. But it's a grant. It's not an entitlement. And, you know, here, all of that is under the premise that government is going to discharge its duties faithfully. Otherwise, if you've conceded that power to parties who are going to further their own interests and further their own partisan objectives, that's when you get into tyranny, and that's when it becomes oppressive. And if, you know, you can invest this much power in a special prosecutor that's going to use agents that have more allegiance to Hillary Clinton than they do to justice and the Constitution in going about this situation, then how can we trust that government in looking at other type of citizens, maybe with less political power, that may be the focus of, you know, a targeted list? I mean, it's very McCarthyism in a way. It reminds me of some of the, you know, the focus of the, you know, the lists that were kept in the 70s and some of the dark days of our American history, when you had government that was really targeting people based on their viewpoint and their partisan alliances rather than any real harm or wrongdoing.
Rob, what's your view on the existence of special counsels? It usually depends on where one's political affiliations lie. Republicans hated Lawrence Walsh. They don't particularly like Bob Mueller right now. Democrats hated Ken Starr. So is it time to just kick these to the curb? Are they still useful in certain situations? What's your take?
We need to be putting people in positions of government that we can trust to have the integrity to not need to create special counsels to do the job of what these positions should stand for in the first place. Personally, I think that this special counsel prosecution should be shut down. I don't think there was a sound basis for creating it. I think the reason it continues to churn is not because of, you know, having uncovered any real substance, but just because of the partisanship and media perception, of stepping in. But, you know, these create the problem. And I think, if we're not putting people in office that can be trusted to discharge their duties, then we should relook at that. But the solution is not just to start adding special prosecutors or special prosecutors to investigate special prosecutors, because then we're just spinning outside of our government and, you know, vesting power that really is ripe for abuse, as I think you're seeing in this situation.
Last question, and I don't know if you can care to speculate or not, but ultimately, what do you think the resolution of this probe is going to be?
Well, I think people's lives and careers are going to be ruined. And I think it's going to be not because of uncovering of the, you know, original basis for the investigation. I think that's already happening with some of the results. You know, for those that are pushing from this in Washington, D.C., I don't think any outcome will actually show justice or show truth in this matter. And really where I think that the end result will be some kind of bitterly fought partisan outcome that most of the American people will look at and see from either side of the political spectrum as untrustworthy, corrupt, and providing further evidence that the problem in our country really is in Washington, D.C., and that this is just one other example of how our government is no longer serving the interests of the people.
Rob, we'll call time there. Thank you, sir, very much for your insights. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Robert Henneke is general counsel and president of the Center for the American Future at the Texas Public Policy Foundation. He's also been a district attorney and an assistant attorney general in the state of Texas. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.